This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
We continue with our Jocks 94.5 Media Days presented by Hemp Hill Services. A guy who always joins us for Media Days is Chris Doering, former NFL Florida wide receiver, current college football analyst for the SEC Network and ESPN. And Chris, joining us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. Chris, hope you're doing well. Florida, one of those teams that we're featuring today. That was a sexy pick for a lot of people to win the East. How many people will still feel that way if they add the likes of an Alabama to their schedule?
Yeah, how about that? How about the dynamics changing quickly with a potential announcement as it were to play out, if you're adding the West teams from your 2021 and 2022 schedule, you're looking at Alabama and Texas A&M, quite the reversal from what, you know, the Florida fans were thinking that their schedule would present this year. So I think it would change somewhat, but I think that's the dynamic that everybody in the league faces. Talent. It's going to be a grind. And as Cole can attest to, when you play an 8-game conference schedule in the SEC, It's a grind. It's a physical, mental beatdown. And now you're adding two more games to that. It's going to be challenging. And I'm interested to see what the ultimate record is for whoever wins the conference this year. I wouldn't be surprised to see it be a two-loss team make it out of there with the conference championship this year.
Chris, how much more advantageous is it to have a defensive scheme like Florida will have this fall? The lack of time being able to be around one another, being able to build that continuity offensively between the offensive line, maybe even systems having to be scaled back, dumbed down a little bit. When you got a group that you know is going to pressure and you know is going to bring guys from all over the place, does that sort of change your opinion of what Florida ultimately could be just based on the scheme they're going to throw out on defense?
Yeah, I think the overall dynamics of what this offseason has presented is favorable to Florida. Now, everybody is going to struggle from missing practice time. Everybody is going to struggle from missing the meeting time and meeting, working together in offseason conditioning. But what I think the advantageous is continuity on the coaching staff, which Florida certainly has, and experience on the field at the position, which Florida definitely has as well, particularly at the quarterback spot. So to your point specifically, yeah, I mean, I think any time you have a chance to disrupt an opposing offense and they only have a limited time to prepare for that. I mean, think about how many times we've gone through off seasons where even in the spring we're getting exposed to something that a particular defense does just to start getting looks at it. There is a lot that Todd Grantham does defensively. I don't think this guy gets the credit that he deserves for what he does in terms of blitz designs and his aggressiveness in calling those packages. Like, he is one of the best defensive coordinators in the country, and unfortunately I don't think a lot of people would give him the due that he certainly deserves.
Chris, when you talk about the offense, Kyle Trask, he gets all the headlines. They lost a lot on the receiving core. Talk to us about the offensive side and who he's going to be able to throw that ball to.
Well, I think, first of all, Florida has maybe the biggest matchup issue in the conference this year. Kyle Pitts, we saw him last year kind of expand what he was able to do, but I thought that the Florida coaching staff, Dan Mullen, did a great job in using him to create matchups. I mean, he's like 6'6", 250 pounds, and can line up as a wide receiver. You put a corner on him, he's going to beat you up outside. He can put his hand on the ground. He can play in an H-back position. Really was a dynamic weapon for them offensively. So I'm excited about him. And even though you lose, you know, four seniors at the receiver position from last year, four very valuable guys, Florida's blessed to have a lot of talent behind those guys. I think Jacob Copeland has a big breakout year for Florida. Trayvon Grimes is a guy that came in highly heralded after transferring from Ohio State as a former five-star, has had moments of brilliance, and at times has left you wondering why he can't be a little bit more consistent. But he's got the NFL body, certainly looks the part. And then Kadarius Toney, his season was slowed down a little bit last year due to an injury that obviously kept him out of a number of games. But I think he's a guy that they're looking to have him participate a little bit more in the flow of the wide receiver position. In the past, they've had to call specific plays to try to get him the ball, whether it's lining up at the Wildcat quarterback spot or using him on a jet sweep. Now they want him to be more of a pure receiver, a guy that can catch the ball in the flow of a play. So I'm looking for him to expand his production this year as well.
Talking Florida football with former Gator NFL great Chris Doering, current SEC college football analyst there on the SEC Network and also ESPN. Kyle Trask, you mentioned him, kind of unexpected, him taking the reins last year and how productive he was. But if you saw anything from his game last year that he really needs to improve on, Chris, what would that be?
It's getting the ball out of his hands. I mean, this is one of the things that haunted Florida's offense multiple games last year, with him getting strip sacked in the pocket. And, you know, I think some of that comes with just needing some time to play. I mean, let's look back. This guy, I don't think he started a game prior to last year since, like, his ninth grade year in high school. So he hadn't played a lot of football when the real bullets are flying. And as you guys know, in practice, you know, you can try to do everything you can to simulate a real game. But if you're not sacking the quarterback, it's really not all that authentic. So I think he's focused a lot on trying to get the ball out of his hands a little bit quicker. If there's nothing there, let's throw the ball away and live to come back and play the next down. But I do think that the thing I loved about Kyle Trask was his preparation last year. You saw it when he stepped into the Kentucky game after Felipe Franks went down, knew exactly where to go with the football, got the ball to the right where the defense dictated, and let his receivers make plays after the catch. I really think that's all you need. But I do think that in this offense that Dan Mullen runs, you know, he talks about all the time, you don't have to be a dynamic runner, just be a willing runner, create mashup issues with the numbers in the box. So he was able to do some things, but I think you'll see a steady dose of Emory Jones as well to kind of come in and provide a little bit more explosiveness in some of the quarterback run game.
So I've got Muhammad Diabate as my number one breakout player on defense this fall in the SEC. Would you be in agreement that he's poised for a big year?
Oh, 100%. I mean, you know, he had flashes at times. He came in as a really highly heralded recruit. And I know this is a guy that the coaching staff is very excited about. And look, go back the last couple of years. I mean, the way that Jonathan Grenard came onto the scene last year and had that big game against Miami, had a great season. You know, before that, just a number of different pass rushers that Florida historically has been able to feature. I think this guy's the next in line there, and I liked your pick when you called your shot there. I was very impressed. Obviously, we know you to do a lot of due diligence, brother, but that was a good one.
Let me ask you about the workhorse in the backfield. Damian Pierce last year ran for over 700 yards. Now, of course, now this year, I guess he will be the featured back. What do you expect out of him?
Well, I think you look at that's a loaded position in general. Damian Pierce brought a little bit more of a nice combination of power and explosiveness. I think you look at him and you don't think he's necessarily a guy that can break away, but he did show some burst and some long runs. I think the thing that I like about him, always falling forward, doesn't get knocked backwards, gets that extra yard, able to run up between the tackles. But, you know, I think you look at that position, Lingard, the transfer from Miami, Malik Davis is back. Hopefully he can be healthy. So again, what has become kind of the norm in the SEC these days and in college football in general, it's running back by committee, and you're using two, three different guys in a number of different ways. One, to not overload, you know, the one guy with too many carries, but also because those guys have some complementing skill sets. And I think you'll see from Florida a very deep and talented group of receivers getting run in and out of there all year long.
Chris, we get the announcement of the conference-only schedule by the SEC, so that means no FSU, no Florida, obviously, is one of those rivalry games. Describe the level of disappointment, not only from fans that you've talked to, but as a former player.
Yeah, for me personally, it's one that I hated to see being left off the schedule. I thought for sure that the SEC would go with a conference-only schedule plus one, much like we saw from the ACC. You know, I understand in hindsight that it really only affects four games. I guess for me personally, being a Florida guy, you know, it was one that I couldn't imagine being left off the schedule, but it does give the conference more control. And I'll be honest, man, I was really kind of excited after I got over the fact that Florida State wasn't going to be on the schedule to think about playing 10 teams in our conference. And that's been the storyline the last couple seasons, is the idea of, hey, we play teams in our conference less frequently than we play out of conference games sometimes. And so it doesn't make sense. I think this is a nice little catalyst to giving some exposure what that might look like in the future. And I honestly believe that there's some good that'll come out of the flexibility that we've had to have with our scheduling this year. I find it hard to believe that anybody's going to want to go back to playing FCS games and Group of Five games after getting exposed to playing 10 conference games this season.
Now, you know what it's like because you're one of the few players who has recently played in a Florida-Georgia game that was not in Jacksonville. And
yeah.
it may be even more different if it's done without fans, either in Athens or in Gainesville. But what are your expectations for that game this season?
It's one that sounds like it's going to be played in Jacksonville still. The athletic director from Georgia, Greg McGarrity, said he wasn't looking forward to having that game, you know, in Athens this year and then have to come back to Gainesville next year with 90,000 fans in the stands. Just not knowing what the situation is going to be like with attendance this year is something that was affecting that decision. So I do think you'll see it in Jacksonville. But that's one of the great shames in what we're suffering through this year is, like, that is the, I don't know if you've ever had a chance to be there, Cole, but the visual coming over the bridge and seeing half red and black and half orange and blue, the way it sets up in the stadium, it really is one of the special kind of traditions in college football, and it's disappointing that we're obviously going to have that impacted significantly this year.
Chris, always fun. Thanks for dropping by, and I'm sure we'll talk as we approach kickoff. Well, for the SEC, it's going to be later in September, but we're going to get apparently some games starting on August the 29th, right around the corner.
Yeah, looking forward to the season, and appreciate you guys having me, man. Let me know when I can come on and help you again.
Always a pleasure. Thank you. Chris Doering, thanks. SEC Network, ESPN. Follow him on Twitter, @ Chris Doering.
This is Three Man Front.